Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Sorry. I think, as Ian already said, it's a bold move to have the person who is famed for mentioning Tolkien more often in his sermons than the Holy Spirit preach on the Holy Spirit. Let's see how we go. And I mean, this slot, the 16th of March, was already put in November last year, and the sermon series was only decided on beginning of this year. So there must be some reason why I'm standing up here. So, as many of you know, I'm studying at the University of Aberdeen. As maybe less people know, is that the head of the theology department is Father John Baer. He's a British Orthodox priest, and he is the leading scholar on the Church Fathers, and especially Origen. His translation of Origen's work are seen as the standard across the signs of the Patristics, so the Church Fathers. And this semester, I am taking a course that is taking us from right when Paul drops the pen, and then the first people of the early church pick up the pen and keep writing, all the way up to Luther and Calvin. But the largest part is focused on the Church Fathers. So I get to the first lecture, and Church Fathers is a big topic. And I get to the first lecture. The first lecture is all about how do we read texts. And I thought, oh my goodness, this is going to be dull. But it wasn't. There was such a joy and love for these people and this man that just sparked over and just caught me on fire as well. And what he insisted on is that we should stop reading these old texts to just confirm what we already believe, to just project onto them what we have thought, because they're before certain things happen. Yeah, like, for example, the two texts we're reading today, they're before, for example, the Nicene Creed or the Apostles' Creed later on. And what people, especially in the 60s, have done is say, oh, if we look at this little passage, he's clearly talking about all of these Trinitarian things that he couldn't have even thought that people 200 years later would think of. And we just want them to say to us what we already know. And what these people, in especially the 60s, have done is, these conclusions are great, but the way they got there are stupid. Can't be true, because we're doing it differently. Even though everybody since Paul has been reading scripture the same way, the Jewish people in the second century read it in the same manner, all the way up until the Enlightenment, when we decided, hang on a minute, we're smarter than everyone before us, and we're also smarter than God. We know how to do things, because we're enlightened. So we went off, we read Melito's Peripascha, and the Paschal feast was, so we're in Lent, and at the end of Lent we've got Easter, we've got Good Friday, we've got Saturday, we've got Easter, then we've got Ascension, and we've got Pentecost and all of that. But the early church, they celebrated it in one big evening, in one motion, and I thought, oh my goodness, I've never thought about it that way. And how Melito takes the Jewish Passover and the story of Moses lifting up the snake on the pole and reads it through Christ. And I thought, okay, this is actually quite interesting. So we kept reading. We read St. Ignatius and his message of unity, his ideas about martyrdom, Irenaeus, his canon, Origen's framework for how we can read scripture, and so on and so forth. And what they do is they build on what came before them. And it's really, really interesting to read them because it widens your scope. And I thought, oh my, the wealth and the wisdom in those words. And maybe you remember from last year, Ian used the analogy of the Southern Cross as an analogy to think of things that guide us on our way, like the seafarers were guided to wherever they're going, And that the Christ at the top, the Holy Spirit, the Word and the Scriptures, and the church tradition at the bottom can guide us to where we are headed, which is closer to God. As I said, I'm known for talking more about Tolkien than about the Holy Spirit. And I think it might have a little bit to do with my church background in Germany. Because my church was very much a church, yep, the Holy Spirit is a thing because Trinity. And we need to say so. But surely he can't be at work in us respectable, middle-class, serious Germans. Maybe he works with the Penties across the road, but they're weird and we're not. And I noticed once I came over here that there was a shift in my faith. It stopped just being a head-based faith and it moved to also my heart. Now with reading the Church Fathers and listening to all those wonderful sermons that have gone before me, I've got an excitement about the Holy Spirit, because the Church Fathers got an excitement about the Holy Spirit, and I never got that from reading a lot of modern theologians. So what I'm going to do today is a little bit of demonstrating. I want to give you a little bit of an idea of what I'm talking about. And I'll read two excerpts from early texts, from the Church Fathers. And what I want you to do is read them with me. What I don't want you to do is zone out and think, Church Fathers, old texts, can't understand. And actually respect yourself and think that you can actually understand it. Because I know that with myself. I haven't read Moby Dick or watched Citizen Kane because I think, these brilliant minds, I won't understand it. So I still haven't watched Citizen Kane, but I really want to. It's just such a daunting task. And I talked through what we're talking through now with Jesus Club. And I don't know if you know Jesus Club, but those guys are 5 years old. And they got it. They were like, this is brilliant stuff. And they were fascinated by it. And then I thought, okay, it works with the 5-year-olds. Let's try it with the 10-year-olds. And they were like, this makes sense. And then I did it with Chaos. And they were like, this makes sense. And now I want to do it with you. And I hope that you also say, this makes sense. If not, sad. Okay, let's dive in, read the first text. So this is from Irenaeus. So he's 2nd century. And I'm going to read it to you. For this cause, also he declares that those are the perfect who present unto the Lord the three component parts without offense. Those then are the perfect who have had the Spirit of God remaining in them and have preserved their souls and bodies blameless, holding fast the faith of God. That is that faith which is directed towards God and maintaining righteous dealings with respect to their neighbors. In Irenaeus' work, which is called Against the Heresies, one of the major themes is the economy of Christ and the economy of growth, which are really fancy terms, but quite simple. So the economy of Christ is that when the type, and people, they constantly talk about the type, and what they mean by the type is Adam and Eve. So when the type was created, he was not yet ready to share in the divine. Yeah, just like babies at the back, we can't just give them a steak and expect them to eat it. It doesn't work. Yeah? We need to give them milk. They need it to grow. The type needed to grow up to the point where the prototype, so that's Christ because Christ was before Adam, took on flesh and gave himself up for us on the pole. That we were then able to have the Holy Spirit with us and share in that divine. And here the economy of growth kicks in, because then it is about you. Once we have the Holy Spirit, he's then able to make us the perfect. To make us what we ought to be, genuine humans, the perfect. So through an inliving of the Holy Spirit with us, God can work in us. And the way he does that, we've heard it from Ruth, we've heard it from Sarah, we've heard it from Ian. I hope I haven't forgotten anyone. So I'm not going to go over that again. But there's something else in that excerpt that I gave you. We would have to present the three component parts without offense. And if you think back to last week, Ian talked about the Shema Yisrael, how we need to worship God with mind, soul, and body or strength. And we need to present them to the Lord. So what he's saying is we need to love our God with all our mind, soul, and strength. He's drawing on that. And the way we can preserve those three component parts is through the faith directed to God. Through the Holy Spirit, can we preserve those three component parts? And by loving our neighbor. And maybe that rings a bell because that's the double commandment of love that Jesus gave us. Okay, let's move on. Skip a century and we're going to Origen. This is slightly longer, but I'm going to read it to you and listen carefully. So, this, it may be said, that before the sojourn of Christ, so the walking of Christ with someone, the law and the prophets, since he had not come who interpreted the mysteries they contained, did not convey such a promise as belongs to our definition of the gospel. But since the Savior has come and has caused the gospel to be embodied in the gospel, he has made all things gospel, as it were. Here I would not think it beside the purpose to quote the example, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Because, sons of man, in his divinity, when he had removed the veil on the law and the prophets, he showed the divine nature of them all. When he presented clearly to those wanting to be disciples of his wisdom. And to understand what things were true and real in the law of Moses, of which things those of old worshipped the type, so Adam, and the shadow, and what things were real of the things narrated in the histories, which happened to them in the way of type. But these things were written for our sakes, upon the ends of the ages have come. With whomsoever then Christ has sojourned, he worships God neither at Jerusalem nor on the mountain of the Samaritans. He knows that God is spirit and worships him spiritually, in spirit and in truth. No longer by type does he worship the Father and Maker of all. So this is from the commentary on John by Origen. And if you remember what Miriam read to us, it was the Gospel of John. And what he makes clear is that what Christ has done on the pole and in his walk, and what the Holy Spirit does now with us, is unveil what has been shown to us. When you remember back to the reading, Nicodemus, this teacher of the law and the prophets, he knew all those stories. He's read them countless times. He knows them in and out, but he didn't understand them fully until Christ came alongside him and opened his eyes, opened the scriptures to him, took the veil away. He unveiled the scriptures. He showed us how we should worship, not through our Adam, not through Adam and Eve, but through the Spirit. And to whom does he reveal that? To the disciples of his wisdom. So who is wisdom? And who are her disciples? So going back to Irenaeus, he says that the Father created the world through word and wisdom. So word, Jesus. Wisdom, the Holy Spirit. As it says in Proverbs 9, wisdom is calling us to eat her bread and the wine that she mixed. And here we come to the theme, the crux of the story. The Holy Spirit gives wisdom. Come and eat from my bread and drink from the wine that I have mixed. And the only thing that I can do here to elaborate on that is quote our Chaos Youth, who said, well, those things, there must be the Bible, there must be other Christians, and the teachings that we get from the church. And I can't say anything to that because that's completely right. The Holy Spirit is God's wisdom. He lives within us and he urges us to eat and to drink from all of those beautiful things that he has prepared. He calls you to read and to meditate on the scriptures. If you haven't joined a house church yet, join a house church. Because what we do there is we read and we meditate on the scriptures with each other and with the Holy Spirit, who unveils these things for us. Come down into the office, I brought one example, this one, early Christian writings, absolutely brilliant. This is first century, early second century stuff, St. Ignatius. And when you read St. Ignatius, all of the stuff that we've read before makes more sense. I just didn't have enough time to read this whole book to you today. there's a time limit, apparently. Come down. And this marker means there's more of them. Yeah. So there's more than this book. Come down. Grab some early church fathers. Grab some reformers and read them. Read some modern theologians as well, like Timothy Keller, what we heard at the beginning. There's wisdom in all of these things. The Holy Spirit is calling us to leave our state of simplicity. And I just want to make sure real quick that we're all on the same page, that I'm not saying that I've left the state of simplicity. I'm very much still in the state of simplicity. And a story from just this Monday explains that very well. So it's Lent. What do we do at Lent? Eat less or cut something out. So I decided, brilliant, good idea. Okay, what should I do? No dinner. Smart. Brilliant. What should I do at the same time? Push my body to the limit and train for my first triathlon. Very smart. And on Monday, Ian sat me down and he said, Ben, you're preaching on wisdom, eh? Do you think that's wise what you're doing? So we're all on that journey. We're all together with the Holy Spirit on that journey to become the perfect. And what the Shema Yisrael and what Irenaeus have told us is that we need to make sure that it is well with our mind, that it is well with our body, that you can't just stop eating and then push your body to the limit. It doesn't work. It is well with your heart and that it is well with your soul. Take care of the gift and of the calling that the Holy Spirit gave you. And the peace of Christ, which surpasses all our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. And speaking of church fathers, can I get Thomas to the front? We're going to stand and we're going to confess our faith together.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
This is a famous old hymn.